Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You may not know this because the beginning of June is very often targeted towards Stanley Cup final and crowning a new champion in the NBA, but the Women's World Cup will take place in France starting on June 7th and running for a full month. So through the 4th of July, a big date, obviously, in our nation's history. And of course, Team USA is one of the favorites, certainly as the defending champ wants to get on that pitch with pride. It's really cool to get the perspective of not just a player, not just someone who competed, but someone who excelled and has the hardware to show for it. Heather O'Reilly, a longtime midfielder with Team USA, has three gold medals as part of the women's soccer team and also that 2015 championship that we all remember, one of the most watched games in U.S. soccer history. And it's awesome to catch up with her and have a few minutes to pick her brain about what's to come on this international stage. Heather, let's start with you personally. It's only been a month since you retired from Team USA. How different does it feel now that your routine going into a World Cup has totally changed?
Yeah, it's been a time of transition for me and my professional career. So I hung up my boots with the U.S. national team in 2016, but wanted to play for a number of years after that at the club level. So I've been playing the last few years. I went over to Arsenal in London, and now I'm wrapping up my career in North Carolina with the North Carolina Courage. And the end of an athlete's career is always really an emotional one. We've been doing this for a long time. I've been, you know, at it, and it's been weaved in and out of my life since I was, you know, just 5 years old. So it's going to be bittersweet come the fall when I hang up my boots as a professional player. But the good thing is I love this game very much, and I know that'll be part of my life in a lot of different ways going forward. And beginning this summer, I'm actually going to be over in France in a different capacity at the Women's World Cup in the broadcasting field with Fox, and will be a studio analyst for all the games at the Women's World Cup. So it'll be a different approach for me. I've been part of the last three World Cups as a player, so this one being on the other side of the line will be a different kind of opportunity and challenge, but one that I'm really looking forward to.
The U.S. women's national team has gold medals and World Cup titles and this track record of success that stretches back decades now, Heather. It can be really difficult, and yet the U.S. team on the women's side makes it look so easy. Why is there so much success?
A couple of things came into play for us. It's going back all the way to the 70s when Title IX was enacted in our country. And I think because of Title IX and because of college soccer, we definitely had an earlier start than a lot of other countries in terms of our national team program. We had some pioneers of the sport like Anson Dorrance and Michelle Akers, and then of course Mia Hamm that passed the torch for a long number of years to then again Abby Wambach and then my generation of players, and now, you know, being led by somebody like Alex Morgan, for instance. So we've had wonderful leadership that kind of came before us, and we've been able to pass the torch, and that torch is getting it done on the field, is competing on the pitch and winning, and also, you know, developing the game and fighting for more outside the line. So it's been a tradition of winning, and as you know, like winning breeds winning, and I think because we had an early start and an early legacy, that gave us a competitive advantage, and it gave us a confidence that we hold on to today.
The winning definitely draws more attention, more eyeballs, especially around a World Cup or an Olympics. And so many of the players that you mentioned, either the current team or past stars, are household names among sports fans. And yet there is still a fight for equality, whether it's equal treatment, whether it's equal resources. And it's not just women's soccer, Heather. But why is that fight so important to you and some of your former teammates?
Well, it's important to me first and foremost because, you know, the national team is first and foremost a nonprofit, and I think that that's what we forget about sometimes because it is you know, it is treated like a professional program. But at the end of the day, it's a nonprofit. It's Team USA. I think in that capacity, you know, equality is really important. This is, you know, the same team that's representing your nation. And our nation is composed of females and males, you know. So in a lot of ways, I think that there should be a base case for equality. And I think, you know, we can do the math and just investigate things. And it's just we're always behind in every category of marketing dollars, of stadiums that are being used. As we saw, obviously, last Women's World Cup, it was played on field turf, which would just simply never happen in the men's game. And listen, I mean, we get it on a lot of levels in terms of the world popularity of soccer, which therefore trickles down, the economics trickle down. But at the end of the day, if somebody needs to break the cycle, somebody needs to be the leader. And we think that U.S. soccer and America should be that person and should be that leader that says, you know, enough. The men, quite frankly, had a 100-year start. So, of course, they're going to be advanced in certain, you know, ways. And let's equal the playing field. And we think we have an opportunity to do that.
With the World Cup just a few weeks away and the U.S. women's national team about to be on this international stage again, how can you continue to make people understand why this fight is important?
I think the team has and will always get the public's attention because, you know, we do things the right way in terms of, first and foremost, never letting it affect our performance on the field. I think everybody knows that we are always going to be competing for championships. We, you know, we have a very high standard for the women's national team, and our standard is win or bust, basically. And not a lot of other countries feel comfortable saying that because that's a very incredibly high standard. But it's one that's always been set for us, and it's one that I hope will always be the standard going forward. So I think that we, you know, we back up our words with action, and people want to root for us because I think that we are relatable people. We're hardworking. We get it done on the field. And I think that they know that we have, you know, the best interest of the sport at heart. We're not, you know, greedy athletes that are making, you know, multiple $100 million. And, you know, we are doing this for the good, you know, for the game and for our love of the game. But at the end of the day, you can only say that so far before you just kind of say, wait a minute. This actually isn't fair. And so I think that kind of is what the story is that people hear from us. And I think that there's going to be a lot of eyeballs on the women's team at the World Cup.
I think it's pretty obvious that the professionalism is there with the U.S. women's national team. Heather O'Reilly is a former member of that squad, won the 2015 Women's World Cup, and is also a part of three gold medal winning teams. She's with us here after hours on CBS Sports Radio. So, Heather, you'll have to answer this question a ton in your new role as an analyst for World Cup games. What did it mean to you to wear the red, white, and blue and represent the United States on the international stage?
It's incredible. I mean, first and foremost, I think that you just think about the hundreds of thousands of females that would want to be doing that. And, you know, that is the top 23 players in the nation that are being, you know, asked to represent the country. So it's an incredible honor. I think sport has an opportunity to really inspire people, to bring people together. You know, it's not just a game. There's a lot more meaning behind it. There's a lot more weight behind it. So all those things kind of combined, it, you know, gives you, it really does give you goosebumps to be able to do what you love, but to be doing something that's actually very important and very meaningful. And there's a lot of blood, sweat, and tears in there. You know, it's not easy. It's not easy to maintain that elite level for a long time. I was lucky enough to play in three World Cups myself. And, I mean, that's amazing to be able to maintain that level of eliteness for so long is something that I'm really proud of. And it's certainly not easy, as you can imagine, to be that top 20 players in America for that many years. So, yeah, I know the U.S. team is really proud. We're really proud of them. And I know that they'll do fantastic in France.
soccer is a game that very often you can dominate and yet still not have the goals on the board to show how well you have played. Not very many people can answer this question, Heather. So what does it feel like to put that ball in the back of the net on the World Cup stage?
What a dream. I've been lucky enough to bag a couple World Cup goals. I think for the U.S. team, to be honest, it's a little bit different. I think that if you ask people all around the world, that would be the pinnacle of their life. And for us, it's winning. You know, yeah, we want to score goals, but sometimes, you know, it's not you that's scoring. And, you know, what happens at the end after the final is really kind of what we care about. So, you know, it's great to score, but even, you know, winning the World Cup is kind of the best for us. But certainly scoring goals is a lot of fun. I know that I was able to score one of my best goals ever was in 2011 at the World Cup in Germany. And I scored a long distance strike against Colombia that is probably one of my best goals ever. And to do it on the World Cup stage was really special. It's kind of one of those shots that you maybe make in training where like nobody's watching. But this time hundreds of thousands of people were watching around the globe. And that felt pretty cool.
Awesome. Like I said, not many people can tell that story. Thank you so much for sharing it with us, Heather. There are stats and trends that prove the benefits of participating in sports for little girls, young women, even into their professional careers, how it can be a benefit to them. Why is it important for you to partner with the U.S. Soccer Foundation to get more little girls and young women involved in playing sports?
Well, I've always loved supporting U.S. Soccer Foundation, mostly because I recognize the awesome opportunity that I have as an athlete to improve the lives of others. I know that how soccer has improved my life. I mean, giving me, you know, self-esteem and leadership qualities and lasting friendships and a healthy lifestyle. And obviously the list continues on and on about how this amazing game has shaped me as an individual and contributed to my life. So I wanted to make sure that everybody has the opportunity to do that. You know, I know that I was kind of from a privileged environment in terms of I had two loving parents that were able to bring me to practice and coaches that were supportive, and I had uniforms and fields and all that. And I know that, you know, not everybody in our country is as fortunate as that. And I just want to make sure that all of the young people across the world, whether, you know, in cities and in rural environments and suburbs, have, you know, an equal opportunity to participate, because what you get out of soccer is huge for the individual and for society at large. So I just want to make sure that everybody has an opportunity to play. And then once they're out there, make sure they're getting everything out of this amazing game.
She's a three-time Olympic gold medalist, the 2015 Women's World Cup champ with Team USA, Heather O'Reilly, with us here after hours on CBS Sports Radio. How much does it mean to you when you meet little girls and young women who want to follow in your footsteps and be just like you?
It means a lot. It's something that I definitely take very seriously. I was fortunate to have some females that, you know, were my role models growing up. And these were my local high school athletes. And, you know, I grew up in New Jersey, so I'd go to Rutgers University women's soccer games and Princeton University soccer games. And actually, I saw the 1999 Women's World Cup when I was just 14 years old. So it was a really influential sporting event for me. And I still remember that feeling. I still remember how hopeful I was and how inspired I was. And to kind of be on the other side of it, it's a huge privilege and something that I definitely take very seriously. So although I'm not a perfect human, I really try to act in a way that would make, you know, those little girls proud, and we'll give them something to look up to. And hopefully when they're in my shoes, you know, the world is in a much better place because of how I left it and how they left it.
Over the course of your two decades with Team USA participating on the international stage, how have you seen the sport grow and also the attention around the sport grow?
You know, there's been ebbs and flows of growth. I think that it would be a lie to say that it was a steady incline all the time, because at least on the women's side, you know, there's been highs and lows. We're into our third iteration of a women's professional league, and we're at its sixth season. So that's exciting and hopeful for us that it will be there for the long term. But, you know, in between the 99 women winning the World Cup and then us winning it in 2015, there was lots of ups and downs in between that. But I think generally overall as a country, I think that soccer is continuing to grow and make its way into like the mainstream sports. I think that like my parents' generation, for instance, didn't have a lot of opportunities to play soccer. And now we're kind of getting to the point where, you know, a lot of people have had the opportunity to be at least a participant in soccer. So I think the cultural view on the game is changing. You know, obviously the coverage that we have of the Premier League games and Champions League games on the men's side at least are increasing. So when I hear people talking about soccer, it perks my ears up because I think like finally like it's made it in America. And I don't think we're completely there yet. Obviously we see, you know, tough crowds sometimes at MLS or NWSL games. But I think the tide is turning and it's exciting to kind of be part of that movement. And I know we've got a ways to go. I lived in London and they eat, sleep and breathe soccer. So, we have a little ways to go before we get to that point, but I think that it's coming and, it's exciting to be part of.
Well, a few more iconic moments on the World Cup stage will do even more to grow the sport, and we're on the cusp of yet another incredible tournament. Heather O'Reilly is a veteran of Team USA for gold medals, for Women's World Cup medals. It's so great to have a couple of minutes with you. Thanks so much, and enjoy your new role as an analyst.
Yes, thanks, Amy. Thanks for having me.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Left from Vancouver. We may not hear the whistle. Into the box. Johnston's clearance. That's it. Game over. The drought is over. The U.S. wins the 2015 Women's World Cup.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
The voice of JP Delacamera, who becomes a household name every couple of years when he is part of the broadcast for the World Cup and the Women's World Cup. And that was 2015. Hard to believe that was 4 years ago. You may remember it was July 4th weekend. In fact, it might have been July 4th. If you want to look up the dates of that last World Cup that was taking place in Canada, I remember that for sure. It was all over our friends to the north. They were hosting the biggest matches in women's soccer. And I remember that Carly Lloyd had an incredible game. She scored from midfield. She and Team USA had so much energy and explosiveness, and it was such a huge party for them to reclaim the Women's World Cup. It was July 5th, thank you, Chris. July 5th, 2015, but still that incredible weekend, iconic weekend in our nation's history, and the time that we celebrate the red, white, and blue and our independence. And I remember being on the air, because I don't ever take July 4th off. I remember being on the air for those few days, and people were really excited about this game. This championship, and it turned out to be one of the most watched soccer games in our nation's history, behind, I believe, only two other games, both from the Men's World Cup. Here are the women who have this extensive history, both in the World Cup and the Olympics, and I appreciate Heather sharing with us some of the reasons why Team USA has such a legacy and has been able to dominate on that national stage for so long. But she's right. It's something that shouldn't be taken for granted. It's a winning program that should be treated equally. And you may have heard over the past couple of years, this fight for equality, various lawsuits, pleas that have been made by Team USA. In fact, there was talk of a boycott in the most recent Olympics. That didn't happen. They continue to win. And now they have another opportunity to draw attention to their sport and to their quest in this World Cup. Starts on June 7th. And I'd love to know if you're interested. If you love soccer, no doubt you're interested because it's international. Because it is the biggest stage in sports. For those of you who are casual soccer fans or just in general sports fans, don't watch a lot of soccer, will you watch the Women's World Cup? Love to hear from you. We're going to put that conversation with Heather on our YouTube channel. And also, I just had the chance, you guys, to share with a friend of mine who works in Green Bay, Her name is Danielle, and she is one of the morning show producers for Fox 11. So she heard me talking about a big show announcement, and she didn't have a chance to watch the video that we posted, the latest edition of Pre-Law. If you missed it, it's on Twitter and on Facebook. She didn't have a chance to watch it, so she texted me and said, "What did I miss? What big show announcement?" And I told her, coming up this time tomorrow, we're going to do our second ever Chubby Bunny contest live on the air. And she's like, "Oh my gosh, that sounds awesome." And she said, "I'm standing here with all of my morning show coworkers at Fox 11, and they want to hear more about it." So I, during the commercial break, sent her by email the YouTube link. So we're going to do it live on the air, but someone's going to tape it here in studio so that we have the video version of Chubby Bunny as well. First time for Chris and Dave, and then one of our other guys who fills in often, Brian, will be joining us. So I'm the only one remaining from the first time we did Chubby Bunny a couple of years ago. Peter Schwartz will not be here to defend his title unless he makes a cameo appearance. That would be awesome. And so anyway, Danielle says, "Send me the video." So I sent her the video. She played it for all of her coworkers. It's part of their show prep in Green Bay. And she said, "We Googled Chubby Bunny contest." And this is what she writes. "We just found an article on two people dying doing Chubby Bunny." Ha! I had no idea. How do you guys feel about signing waivers? I bet if we told CBS, they might put the kibosh on Chubby Bunny. So we're not going to tell the boss. Okay, can we keep this a secret amongst us? Just amongst friends here? No one tell the boss or alert the head honchos at CBS and Entercom that we are planning to do Chubby Bunny, because apparently two people have died. And Danielle goes on to say, "The one woman who died only had four marshmallows in her mouth. And I asked how she died, and she said she choked." On four marshmallows? Are you kidding me? How do you choke on marshmallows? Don't they disintegrate? I guess I could be wrong, but I don't know. How do you choke on marshmallows? We're not going
to
find out.
It seems like a rough way to go. But I see a lump sum in my near future.
Oh, do you? You're going to feign choking? Do you want to win this thing, or do you want to get a lot of money?
No, I'm kidding.
Actually,
I don't win.
I don't have any money. So you can sue me for all I'm worth, and you'll end up with a car that has a loan on it.
That's fine. I'll take it.
That's pretty much the only thing I own. Oh, and an old laptop. A laptop that's like maybe 5 years old. My Kindle. You can have my Kindle.
Chris will buy it.
My phone is 2 years old, but you can have that. It doesn't hold a charge very long.
Chris will buy that too.
Anything else that I have that's valuable? My house plants, my pets. They cost me a lot of money right now, but they are worth a lot of money because I've spent a lot of money on them. Good?
Sounds fair.
You can sue me for all of those things.
I'm going to win, though, so none of this matters.
Princess Leia has brand new tires. I mean, that's got to count for something. Also, brakes that were done not that long ago. So she's all yours if you choke and die. Oh, wait.
Princess Leia?
Princess Leia is my vehicle. I name all of my cars. You treat them as though they are family, and they are good to you.
Okay.
All right, anything else you want to ask me? Coming up, Ask Amy Anything. It is straight ahead, so send your last-second questions to our show Twitter, After Hours CBS. Dave needs to learn more about me. Come on, everybody names their cars. Well, anybody who's anyone names their cars. I name my plants. I obviously name my pets. I also, in the past, have named all my stuffed animals, but I've kind of got away from doing that just because I don't have nearly as many. Naming your car is imperative. Do you know how much time I spend in my car? So do you. This is important.
I spend a lot of time in my car. I never honestly thought about naming it, though.
My Saturn Ion, Dixie, her name was Dixie, when I bought her, she gave me 300,000 miles. And when I traded, well, I gave her to a police officer's family in Ohio. When I did, she was still running like a champ. 300,000 miles because I treated her with kindness.
That's a lot of miles.
Yes, it is.
I don't know that I have any ideas for a name for my car, though.
Well, we could solve that pretty quickly. All right, coming up, Ask Amy Anything. Get your questions into Twitter or our Facebook page.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Check. Just don't ask me if anyone is going to die in our next edition of Chubby Bunny, because that, I don't know. I cannot predict the future. However, I do know that people need to sign waivers now. If one of you chokes on four marshmallows, that's on you. I mean, that is not my fault. If you can't handle four marshmallows, then I feel like you just need to toughen up a little bit. Please don't choke on the marshmallows. Oh, my gosh.
There will be no hazardous deaths in this Chubby Bunny challenge.
Maybe we should have someone else bring the marshmallows just so I can't be held complicit.
No producers were harmed in the making of Chubby Bunny.
I mean, you guys have quite a standard to uphold. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Thanks so much for tuning in. Always appreciate your questions. It's our longest running franchise, part of the Hump Show on After Hours. And producer Chris, not Bogish, producer Chris is the one who has the questions again this week.
Are we sure?
I'm sure.
1,000%?
I'm sure.
Unless I legally changed my name in my sleep and I didn't know about it or something.
Please don't.
We're going to have to ask Andrew about this, I think.
I'll be confused.
But we will start with Rich, who wants to know, are you a fan and have you ever played bingo?
Of course. Who doesn't play bingo? If you have grandparents, everybody plays bingo. Yeah, I used to go with my grandmother. So this is my maternal grandmother who passed away the week after 9/11. But of course, she loved bingo. And when I was visiting her in the Youngstown, Ohio area, we would go to the local Catholic church. I think it was St. Rose. I don't remember. I think it was St. Rose. We would go to the local Catholic church and we would go down in the basement. There'd be big bingo tables set up. And so we would play bingo and she would let me. They had daubers, not actual chips, those markers that you kind of put the red spot on your bingo card. And she would have four or five bingo cards out in front of her. And we would beg to be able to hold the daubers and mark the numbers that were called out. And so, yes, with my maternal grandmother, Mary Elizabeth, I absolutely played bingo and loved to accompany her to the local Catholic church.
Some serious, intense, heated bingo battles going on back in the day?
No, she used to laugh. It was coin bingo, I think. I don't know if it was definitely penny bingo, but yeah, it was cute. All the little old ladies.
So Wes says what I think is a very interesting question. He wants to know if there's such thing as a perfect microphone being a broadcaster.
One that works. One that doesn't fall off of its support. Don't you remember we had a broken microphone not that long ago?
One of the funniest moments on the show by far.
Oh, great. I'm in peril and there's a microphone that's preventing me from doing a good show and you all are in there laughing. Yes, the microphone appears to be remaining upright at this time, although I don't know how long that will happen. One that works. I mean, it sucks when your mic doesn't work. It's never happened to me that a mic in my studio didn't work, but I've had many instances in which a mic with a producer did not work. And so I couldn't hear what you or another producer is saying. So that has been frustrating. But yeah, how about one that works? And one that I can take off the windscreen and put on my own. That's my recent revelation. One of my keys to staying healthy in the wintertime, when you generally share microphones, you obviously breathe in the germs that are left on the other microphones. And recently, I was following, and it's not Scott Farrell, but I happened to follow a guy in studio who's filling in for Scott here on CBS Sports Radio who would smoke a lot. And I couldn't stand it anymore because the windscreen, which is a foam piece that covers the mic to kind of to mute the popping of the P's and the T's as well. It smelled like smoke. I couldn't stand it. It was just disgusting. So I bought my own windscreen and have not gotten anyone else's germs this year. The two of you have passed sickness back and forth over there, but not me.
Yeah, Dave has been the culprit here of passing, I believe, what are some of his children's sicknesses onto me. And I'm not a huge fan of that one, Dave.
Maybe this was your fault.
Mm-hmm. So let's not have a rat-a-tat-tat back
here.
Hey,
what does this have to do with Ask Amy Anything?
Exactly. Okay, so we're going to move on to David, who does use the hashtag Ask Amy Anything. Bonus point
Dave.
For that. He says, with all the travel you've been doing, what's some of your favorite music to listen to on the road?
Actually, I just drove from where I live in New Jersey to my brother's house in Northern Virginia, D.C. area, on Friday night. I left my house at 10 p.m. Eastern time. Because I wanted to try to miss as much of the traffic as possible on a Friday evening. And what got me through that trip? Jason Aldean. So I had my iPod and I plugged it into Princess Leia. And I listened to every Jason Aldean song that I had. Because a lot of his songs make you want to sing out loud. And so I was able to do that even when I was exhausted. I was really tired. But Jason Aldean, a lot of times I will listen to Tim McGraw as well because his songs are ones that I can sing along with. I'm trying to think. Oh, you know what puts me to sleep? Now, I don't sleep very often on planes. And if I do, I doze 5 minutes here, 5 minutes there. But what tends to soothe me? Frank Sinatra. So, you know, when you're on a plane, especially if you're near a wing, which a lot of times I try to get exit rows and they're pretty close to it. They're not obviously on the wings, but they're pretty close to the wings. And so actually some exit rows are on the wings because you can walk out there. Anyway, regardless, usually it's really loud. I sit next to the window, but by putting in my headphones and listening to Frank Sinatra, it helps me to calm down.
Mark wants to know, what is your favorite movie
no response
from
there.
The 80s? No, I had nothing for you there.
You don't like Frank Sinatra? Rat Pack?
Oh, of course. He's a legend.
The Way You Look Tonight?
But I'm such a newbie when it comes to plane travel that I have no relatability.
Well, plane travel, car travel. What is my favorite movie from the 80s? I suppose you all think I'm going to pick one of the Star Wars movies, which, by the way, I asked my mom, did we ever see those in theater? And she said, I did. And I was like, well, did I? She didn't have an answer either. So I don't think that we did, at least not with her, but she saw them in theaters. My favorite movie from the 80s is actually not one of the Star Wars movies. So not Return of the Jedi. It's The Karate Kid, the original with Ralph Macchio. I have seen that film 30 times. It's the only movie outside the Star Wars franchise that I will sit and watch. And I have sat and watched over and over and over and over. I love the two originals, The Karate Kid and The Karate Kid Part 2. But yeah, that movie came out in 1984. And I was totally hooked. I was obsessed with The Karate Kid. I loved it. And not just him, but Elizabeth Shue, my favorite actress. So that was when I kind of fell in love with her as an actress. So yeah, The Karate Kid.
Have you ever seen the follow-up that's on YouTube, the Cobra Kai series?
I haven't.
I think it's supposed to be pretty good, actually.
A lot of people recommend it to me, though, so maybe I'll have to check it out this summer when I'm searching for shows to binge. It's a summer thing.
Well, The Karate Kid is on a list of movies that I am ashamed to say I've never seen. So
it's okay. I've never seen The Godfather.
Well,
any of The Godfathers. Dave.
Dave's
eyes are bugging out of his head.
Unfortunately, at the moment, I am embarrassed by both of you. The Godfather and Karate Kid?
I know. What's wrong with you, Chris?
What's next? I mean, come on.
The Godfather feels like a guy movie to me. But
it's certainly long.
Oh, that's okay. The Star Wars movies are long. I don't mind. Lord of the Rings is long.
We actually had a caller call in, Tom from Arizona, and he had a question.
Hi, Tom.
He wanted to know what is the origin of the boom at the end of the show, because he wanted to know if it was related to our friend Boomer Esiason.
Could you imagine? I'm going to have to tell Boomer this. Someone asked me if he's the reason why I yell boom. Yes, I'm yelling to Boomer as he walks by. Boom! And sometimes he comes in and sometimes he doesn't. No, it has nothing to do with Boomer Esiason, whose first name is actually Norman. Don't tell him I told you that. Let's keep that a secret. His email address is his actual name. So anyway, the boom comes from the Pacers play-by-play team. I don't know if you've ever heard any of the Pacers play-by-play, but when they hit a three, Mark Boyle, and maybe it's his partner, one of them yells, boom, baby! If you could find the calls, they're awesome. Anyway, I heard that, and it stuck in my head, and I started saying boom in these big moments. Not like they do, but I have my own twist on it. Anyway, it became a thing, and then Isaac started dropping in the boom at the end of the show, and now if we don't do it, people get really upset. They tell me they don't start their morning until they hear the boom at the end of the week. Oh, at the end of the show, sorry. And some people ask me if I do it live, and how do I do it when I'm still talking? I'm just going to let you figure that out all by yourself.
So the mysteries of radio
getting
revealed here. Ethan wants to know, what are some of the weirdest/oddest things that have happened on the show?
Well, Chubby Bunny, if one of you dies and chokes on marshmallows, that will definitely be one of the oddest things that's ever happened on the show. I'm trying to think what else. Oh, my gosh. One time I blew up a package in here. I didn't mean to. It just happened. Another time, obviously, the microphone coming apart and breaking. So when we have mishaps of that sort, those are the types of things that I think stand out to the audience. What other like crazy things have happened in here? Oh, my gosh. I broke something. What was it? Was it the TV? No. Shoot, the boss got so mad. Oh, I know. Oh, my gosh. I know. Okay, so I was rolling around in the chair. We have awful chairs in the studio, right? So there's only one chair that I will sit in. And there was a bobblehead of some sort. So they've decorated the studio with sports paraphernalia. And before it was Tiki and Tierney that had their show on TV, it was Doug Gottlieb. He had some crazy bobblehead. I don't even remember what it was. I was pushing chairs around in my aggressive manner to get ready for the show. And I shoved a chair into the bobblehead, and it toppled off of its perch and snapped in half, and the bald head rolled away. And so I had to confess, and I had to I had to take the heat for that. And the boss was like, can you be a little more careful? Like, anyone cared about the bobblehead. But yes, I've broken things here in studio.
So
don't tell anyone, but I throw things around the studio too, but we don't have any proof of that.
No, of course not, because we keep it PG around here, of course, because that's what we do. They didn't make you pay for said bobblehead, did they?
Are you kidding? You're not paying for some dumb bobblehead. Okay. Get it out of the studio if you don't want it to get broken.
Exactly.
Take it home.
I think we could squeeze one more in here. Big Jim wants to know, have you ever considered being a vegan? And
no,
if so,
absolutely not. I love eggs. I love fish. I love seafood. I love beef. I love chicken. I love poultry. Anything that takes those proteins out of my diet is a negative Ghost Rider. Who would ever want to be a vegan? That sounds terribly boring.
That's a good question. I don't know.
I mean, I'm okay with having a few extra pounds if it means I get to eat fish and seafood and beef. Oh my gosh, you guys. I'm doing Weight Watchers with my mom. It's like a show of solidarity. I've been working on losing weight, but I didn't really want to sign up for Weight Watchers, but she got a free month if I signed up, so I signed up. It's awful. The number of points they give me per day, do you know just the milk in my coffee is like half my points per day? What do you have against dairy? I do not want to be a vegan or drink almond milk. I hate Weight Watchers. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.